The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus was setting out on a journey when a man ran up, knelt before him, and put this question to him. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You must not kill, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not bring false witness, you must not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Master, I have kept all these from my earliest days. Jesus looked steadily at him and loved him, and he said, There is one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But his face fell at these words, and he went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded by these words, but Jesus insisted, My children, he said to them, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were more astonished than ever. In that case, they said to one another, Who can be saved? Jesus gazed at them. For men, he said, it is impossible, but not for God, because everything is possible for God. Peter took this up. What about us? He asked him. We have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, I tell you solemnly, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, children, or land for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not be repaid 100 times over, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, not without persecutions, now in this present time and in the world to come, eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. In the gospel we've just heard, Jesus is an uncompromising. He does not pussyfoot around. He is crystal clear in the demand he makes in answer to the man who comes to him asking about how to inherit eternal life. As with the call of Peter and the other fishermen who left everything and followed Jesus, so it is here. The problem is, it's such a big step. It's not just the cost involved in leaving everything behind, it's also the risk involved in striking out into the unknown, as all that represents material security is left behind. And that was what the wealthy man discovered when he started asking questions. Go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When it comes to the crunch, this is what Jesus asks his followers to do, if they are serious, that is, about becoming his disciples. It is about total commitment, putting nothing else in life before discipleship. Not even family and friends. Tough, isn't it? But as Jesus said on another occasion, leave the dead to bury the dead. Uncompromising. The wealthy man, in looking for an insight into Jesus and the kingdom, ended up getting more than he bargained for. His wealth was tied up with belonging to the right family, being entitled to some precious land, and perhaps more importantly, being accepted in society as someone of some worth. So this man was being offered a challenge and a question. The challenge was to drop the false image behind which he was hiding in order to move beyond himself and enter into a new and personal relationship with Jesus. The challenge was to step away from the easy certainties that come with status and privilege, to let go of the very things that defined his life, to move from mere practice of religion into a new and vibrant faith where God can make all things possible. The question was whether he was willing to accept that he was vulnerable, whether he could acknowledge that he couldn't find all the answers on his own. The question was whether he could enter into a time of searching, depending on others to help rebuild his life in this kingdom where everything is turned around and made new. What made this meeting so unusual was that the man departed from Jesus, we read, looking sad. He departed looking sad. In the Gospels, we see Jesus interacting with various people, but they don't usually leave his presence in a state of dejection. But this man did. He could not find it within himself openly to admit that he was weak. So he returned. He returned to his old life, to his possessions, to his status, to the false image which now imprisoned him, and to the baggage that held him back and weighed him down. Having a real encounter with the Word of God, with Jesus, is not always comfortable. We are so dependent on material props. Getting close to Jesus means getting close to others. It means examining our motives, and that can change us, and we need to change. Christ calls us to conversion. We need to drop our pretenses. We need to bring our true selves to him, warts and all. Yes, it is difficult to give up all that holds us back, but that is the very thing we are called to do in this kingdom, called from fear and isolation into community, called from conformity and simple observance into a new life altogether. The call is radical, but the Christian faith is radical. The Christian faith is radical. The problem is that over the years, we have become so comfortable with going to church regularly, worshipping in familiar surroundings in a familiar way, that we have lost the cutting edge of what the gospel is all about. We've lost the cutting edge of what discipleship means. The early disciples of Christ knew all about that cutting edge. Unfortunately, unlike those first disciples, many Christians of our own time no longer think very deeply about why we are here, what we are called to be, and what we are called to do. That is why, like the man in the gospel, we need to be jolted out of our complacency, to be pulled up sharply, and to be challenged, if we are to rediscover the true and real meaning of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That is precisely why the new evangelization is so vitally important in the life of the church and in our individual lives as Christians. It is why we all need to understand the difference between being intentional disciples rather than passive churchgoers. There is a difference. Let's remember, it is not the splendor of our church buildings nor the number of people in the pews that makes us powerful. It is the reliance on God's word and on each other, helping to build the kingdom of God out of our weakness and out of his strength. We cannot rely on wealth or anything else that this world offers because that is all transitory. It's all transitory. It may not be here tomorrow. Indeed, tomorrow itself may never arrive. So let us not turn and go away from Jesus looking sad, as the wealthy man in the gospel did. Rather, let us have the courage to put our complete trust in the Lord, letting go of our props, and instead putting our faith in his promises, remembering always that nothing is impossible to God. Any sacrifice we make in our devotion to him, the promises will be more than amply rewarded. Those who give up the things that Jesus listed, mother, brothers, sisters, land, etc., for his sake and the sake of the gospel, will be amply rewarded. That's the promise. We have on record that the wealthy man lost out. He failed to find happiness. He failed to find fulfillment. He went away sad. Conversely, there is no record that any of the faithful disciples of Jesus, such as Peter and the others, regretted the decision they made when they took the risk of leaving everything in order to follow him. So may they and Blessed Mary, who said a resounding yes to God, be our model and our inspiration.